All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. We will primarily, I guess, this morning be completely just in Romans chapter 1. A number of verses. We'll be looking at many of these verses and making some comments on them. I believe that Romans chapter 1 is going to become a real battlefield for the child of God. There are many great things that are found in the Scripture, and you really cannot put something in precedence over something else because it is all the recorded, inspired Word of God. But when we come to Romans chapter 1, we find some things concerning the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. I guess for a title this morning, I would entitle it The Righteousness by Faith. For much of this first part of the chapter deals with the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the life of faith. The Apostle Paul, as he writes this first portion of letter to Romans, to the people of Rome, he deals with some very important facts concerning salvation. He deals with the facts concerning the world is guilty before God, and then he deals with the apostasy, the stages of Gentile and worldwide turning from God, turning to the Lord, and he uses some very explicit language and gives us some very good detail as to what is going to take place and the type of world in which we find ourselves. But as we continue on in our society, we are finding there is a continual, I guess, aggravation of God's Word upon the lost world. Men never do like to be confronted with their sins. Society as a whole does not want to stand up and be counted as far as their sinful deeds. And so therefore, as Romans 1 says, they really want to put God out of the thoughts of their hearts and out of their knowledge. And so I believe Romans chapter 1 is going to become a very, very important battleground chapter for the child of God. Whether or not we will preach what is recorded in this book is going to be, sometimes I believe, will be tried. It already has been tried in many places. There's an individual that went to jail in Canada for preaching Romans chapter 1. There's an individual in Great Britain that was arrested and went to jail for some time for preaching Romans chapter 1. And so I believe this is going to be a battleground, be a battle passage. But I want us to look at the entire first chapter this morning as we deal with righteousness by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, we'll use this as our text verse, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." What a great statement that is. The just shall live by faith. We as believers, we as the justified, we are those that have been saved, born again by the Spirit of God, and we realize that our salvation is by the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul the Apostle, he of course was a strong Jew, but he became an apostle to the Gentiles. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he reveals to all men that if we're going to be saved, if we're going to heaven, it's going to be because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really and truly, that is what is under attack today in our world. It is the belief that we have that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Someone would say, well, who are you to tell me that there's only one way to heaven? My way is just as good as your way. Well, I beg to differ because the Bible says, and that's what we must base our belief upon, that's what we must base our stand upon, because when we leave the principles of the Word of God, then we're on shaky ground. But the Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way, no man cometh to the Father except by Him and through Him. And so Paul, reveals to men, whether they be Jew or Gentile, that it is the righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ that brings him to a knowledge and to a understanding of what salvation is all about. Now, Paul was a realist. He understood the world in which he lived. He understood that everybody was not going to believe that, and he realized that, and he knew that the people were fearful of believing and trusting, and so he keeps dealing with the seriousness of this thing by faith. It is the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the faith is rejected, and when faith is no longer accepted, the only thing that is left is found in verse number 18, and is called the wrath of God. And we'll deal with that just a little bit this morning. But let's look back now, and just for sake of keeping everything in good place here, let's go back into the first part of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at the person of Jesus Christ. Here's the focal point of all problems in our situation and our world in which we live. It is the gospel of God, which is the gospel of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made in the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God. Jesus Christ is that focal issue that the world looks upon. You can talk about God all you want to talk about, as long as you don't ingest or put in inference the name of Jesus Christ. You can talk about religion, you can talk about the great unknown, and you can talk about Mother Nature and all of that stuff, but you mention Jesus Christ and His name, then all of a sudden you are forcing someone to believe what you believe. But the Bible says here that Jesus Christ has declared to be the Son of God. Therefore, John chapter 3 and verse 16 says He's the only begotten Son of God. And so He is declared, or He is proclaimed to be that Son, for He is that promised one. Verse number 2 and verse 3 that we read, it says, which He had promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son. Everything that we have in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ, we have it prophesied in the Old Testament, only revealed in the New Testament. He is that promised one, and He is that one that's declared to be the Son of God, which was, the Bible says, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You see, here in the first part of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul sets Jesus Christ aside and differentiates between Him and everybody else. He's the one that's been promised, and therefore He came and provided us the salvation that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came with power in verse number 4, and He came according to the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead. He is that promised one. He's that powerful one. He's that perfect one. He's that prevailing one that is above all and everything. And Paul says, this is who we're dealing with, and this is what we're talking about. You see, bottom line of everything that we deal with in religion and salvation is what we believe about Jesus Christ. It's what we concern ourselves concerning Him. And so Paul declares that this gospel of God that was given to us is a gospel concerning the Son of God that was prophesied in the Old Testament and provided to us in the New Testament. And Paul says in these next few verses, Paul says that I thank my God through Jesus Christ, and he begins to talk about his personal life, his personal ministry, and the things that were given to him in verses number 8 through 17. He praises the believers, he prays for others, he proclaims the gospel, and he practices the faith that is given unto him. Notice that Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks, in verse 14, and the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise, for as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to those that are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul declared, he said, this gospel that I preach, I'm not ashamed of it. I don't try to hide it in a corner. I don't try to push it over to the side. Paul said, I am ready. There's three times here Paul says, I am. He says, I am debtor there in verse number 14. In verse 15, he says, I am ready. And verse number 16, I am not ashamed. And so Paul understood who Jesus Christ was in his life, and the purpose that Paul had was to preach the gospel to every creature and to prevail to them and to give to them that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And so we find that we have righteousness this morning because we're not born in a good family. It's not because we're born in America. We have a righteous heart and a righteous soul this morning because one day we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He became our Savior. We exercised that faith that God had given to us, and we followed Him, and we called upon His name. And so Paul says, I'm ready to preach, and therefore I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Notice what the gospel does. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It does not say we live by our sight. We don't live by figuring out things. We live by faith, the just, the justified, the saved. And so therefore, our righteousness that we have in our life, and by the way, the only righteousness we have is what has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. For Isaiah says our personal, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Everything that we have to offer is nothing. It's void. It's covered over with ungodliness and sin. But the only righteousness that we have has been given to us by the God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is revealed that the just shall live by faith. So there is the person of Christ, and there's the purpose of Paul. Paul said, my purpose is to reveal the righteousness of God. My purpose is to proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Greek. My purpose is to not be ashamed, but to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when people reject that, and people do reject that, every day people turn their back, and every day they will say, we don't want that to rule and to be in our heart. And when that is done and comes to a culmination, the only thing is left is found in verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now here we have that word unrighteousness three different times. And God tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? It's unbelief. Staying in our own condition, staying in our own way. Unbelievers, not being born again, not believing God. And so that brings on a perverseness of man. Man in his natural condition and natural state is in a perverse state. He is a perverted individual, and the thoughts and the hearts and the intents of all of his life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that every imagination of man's thought was only evil continually. And as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And I believe you can read Genesis chapter 6 and apply that to 2010, that all the imaginations and the thoughts and the intents of the heart of people are only on evil, ungodliness without God. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where we have our battleground starting. Because we find that there is a wrath. A lot of folks talk today, and a lot of churches proclaim today the love of God. But I'll tell you what, it's a double-sided coin. For on the other side of that is the wrath of God. God is a God of love. Do never minimize that. But when God's love is rejected and God's love is put aside, and when God's love is taken and abused, then the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. This ungodly society and world in which we live. And by the way, we're going to hear more and more about our world as a new society or a new age or a new process is going on. And there's some things coming down the tube that's going to bring this old world closer together. And you and I, as a believer, we should not be so shocked about that. We should not be to the point of in despair, because if we believe this book, we know it's going to happen. If we believe the Bible, we know what's around the corner. We don't want to watch it. We don't want to see it. We fight against it. But if we believe what God says, we know that it's going to take place. And Paul says here that man is perverted in every situation. He says that he holds the truth in unrighteousness. Righteousness is perverted. Man perverts the truth. He has gone his own way. And the Bible says in verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man has no excuse to say, I don't believe in God. God has made our world to proclaim the manifold blessings and the testimony that there is a God in heaven. But when folks reject that, then they become perverted. When folks deny the Scripture, and we're living in a world that has no idea of what the Scripture says about truth. They hold it in a perverted condition and a perverted way. Notice here, he says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, now there was a time when this generation or this people knew God. There was a time when they had understanding of God. But notice here what happens. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm surprised every day on the newscast that I hear and the newspaper maybe that I read and the different things that we have of news that comes to us, I'm surprised that those folks that think they are so wise, how really ignorant they are of what truth is. And that's the battleground. Because they do not accept this. And when you do not accept this as truth, when you do not accept the Word of God, we believe the Word of God is inspired of the Lord, breathed of God. And when a society and when a generation rejects God's Word, then the only thing that is left is fairy tales. The only thing that is left is stories. The only thing that is left is foolishness. And the Bible says here, Paul declares this group that once knew God, that did not glorify Him as God, Paul says that their imaginations are vain, or their imaginations are even empty. Like a soap bubble, there's nothing there. And it's just an imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Isn't it amazing when all the smart people get together and they can get nothing accomplished? I mean, they've got the PhDs, they've got the wisdom, they've got it all together, and they're directing the traffic. But isn't it strange how many wrecks we have on the road? I'm talking about the road of life. I mean, the professors, they tell us all the good things, and they're supposed to have all the knowledge, but when you hear them, they profess themselves and proclaim themselves to be fools in their ideas. A man that does not believe in God, the Bible says he's a fool. That's a battlefield. If that professor in school, whether it be a high school or a grade school or a college, doesn't matter how many degrees he has after his name. Doesn't matter what he's got behind him. It does not matter if he does not recognize that there is a God in heaven. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All of a sudden, we can't say that because that's hate speech. There's a battlefield. There's a battle coming. But the Word of God says their foolish heart was darkened. They're perverted. A person that accepts the theory of evolution or theistic evolution, their foolish heart has been darkened. For the Bible says God made heaven and earth and all that in them is. There's the battle line. Do we compromise it? A lot have. Do we curve around it? A lot do. But it does not change the fact that in the beginning, God. You see, it's understood, first off, God. And what God did in the beginning was He made heaven and earth. And by the way, God created man in His own image. Evolutionary thought, evolutionary teaching destroys the image of God. I mean, it tears it down, because if we just come up from some little amoeba and we crawl up on the side of the seashore and all of a sudden we become a man through a million years ago, that, what image is that? But the Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. And that word living means a continual process of living forever and forever and forever. If I was an atheist, if I was an infidel, if I was an evolutionist, I'd want to die like a dog too. But I'm sorry, it doesn't happen that way. Romans chapter 1 tells us that the wrath of God is revealed, because when they knew God, there was a time when they understood, they knew God, they knew about God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. And now there's a process that takes place. Their rejection of God. They knew Him. They started out right. They glorified Him not as God. They rebelled against Him. They were not thankful. The Scripture says here, they were not thankful. They become proud. Their vain imaginations, their own ineffectual ways of doing things, just because of desire. They become fools and their hearts are darkened. And the Bible says they change the glory of God, who is incorruptible, to that which is of corruptible man. Notice in verse number 23, and change the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man. Number one problem, they made an image. God said not to have any gods before us. An image is something we make. An image is something we carve out. An image is something that is the result of our handiwork. And so the Scripture says here, they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God that cannot be seen and cannot be photographed. We believe Him by faith, but they changed that unto something that would be corruptible, to an image. Brother Broughton made a statement the other night, I thought was very, very good. He says, if a God that you cannot see can open the Red Sea, then we ought not have to worry about seeing Him to believe Him. And if God can open the Red Sea, the Jordans are no problem for Him. And so here's a corruptible, incorruptible God, but they make an image like corruptible man. But notice here the downward progression. And to birds, then to four-footed beast, and then to creeping things. Evolution says we're going up. God says we're going down. Man, in his own thought processes, ends up worshiping things of the world. Ever hear those things in our news reports, how that we have to take care of our mother nature, our world around us? And don't get me wrong, we need to take care of what's around us. God doesn't want us to destroy, but God doesn't want us to bow to it either. God doesn't want us to worship a tree. God wants us to use a tree. And so we find that man has so muddled up his mind that now he's foolish. It's interesting, of course, the oil spill out in the Gulf. It's interesting, I believe it was yesterday I heard some scientists say, if we would just leave it alone, nature will take care of it. Man's not going to leave that alone. Too much politics involved in that. But what he said was that there's things in the process that will take care of itself. I'll tell you what, God has made this whole world to take care of itself. We've abused it, yes, and we should not. But God has, in the system that God has put before us, He has made it where He will take care of it. And so we find that there is the changing of the attitude that we have toward God. We've seen that take place in our own society. There's a changing of an attitude toward the God of heaven. You even say anything about God now, you're something terrible. Notice verse 24. Wherefore, or because of, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now here they have given up God, and they've said no to God, but now the Bible says God says He gives them up. But when you're given up by God, you're in bad trouble. They made God an image like corruptible man, beast, and birds, and creeping things. And God said, all right, go your own way. And so He gives them up. Now, here we come into the perverseness of man and the pathway of sin that the world is certainly falling after today. Notice in verse number 24 or 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, Mother Nature. I hate that term, Mother Nature. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. So now they have turned from God. They turn to idols, and now they turn inward to themselves. Worship of self. We call that, in our terminology, humanism. That man can take care of all of his needs, man can take care of everything that he has, and so they change the truth of God and make it a lie. God says He made it, man says He didn't. And what's the perverted... And what's proclaimed more anywhere else is the lie. Now, they worship, serve the creature, themselves, more than the Creator. And now for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. There's a process that takes place. They turn from God. They turn to idols. They turn to self. God gives them up and says, go your own way. And now the Bible says here, they turn to vile affections. And under inspiration now, under Holy Spirit guidance and inspiration, Paul says, for even their women did change the natural use, that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. That's sodomy. That's what is called homosexuality. And that's what's sweeping our country. And the reason it's sweeping our country, because I believe, is that we're getting in a conditioned period. And our little boys and girls will accept that as just a common, everyday thing. That's just another lifestyle. That's what's being taught. And the reason they're being taught that is because I believe the Bible teaches that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, I believe he's a homosexual. It says he has no desire of women. Look it up. Check it. Check me out. If I'm wrong, I'll publicly apologize. There's the battlefield. There's the battle line. Verse 27, the men leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. If they don't want God, God says, go your own way. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Strong words. Difficult words. Things that are prevalent today. But it does not change the endless Word of God. Is there any hope for people? Sure there is. I'm not preaching there's no hope for folks that are in different lifestyles and folks that are in that condition. I'm not preaching that. I believe there's always hope for someone to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. But they'll come and know Him and they'll give up their sin. There's churches all across our country that call themselves homosexual Christians. That's a misnomer. There's the battle line. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or natural. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication. Now look at all the things that comes about by that. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, immovable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, which they such commit such things, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They live the way they want to live, they enjoy their lifestyle, and they die happy until they meet God. It's appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. This is the battlefield, I believe, of the next few years. And it all comes down that we are made righteous by faith. Verse number 17, for herein is the righteousness of God. The just shall live by faith. We do not live by sight. We do not live by pleasure. We live by faith. And therefore we must realize there is a result of rejection of God. God gives up their body. God gives up their soul. God gives up their spirit. God gives them up. When does that happen? I don't know. All I know is I'm told to tell everybody that Jesus saved. Is there anybody we ought not to witness to? Not a person. We should witness to everybody. We should tell them Jesus died for them. Jesus loves them. Jesus cares for them. We should tell them all the same story. What they do with that message will determine where they spend all eternity. So as we enter into these days that are ahead of us and the years that are before us, I don't know what's going to take place. I don't know the future. But I do know one thing. Righteousness will prevail. And the believer. May God help us to live for Him, stand for Him, proclaim truth, proclaim righteousness, proclaim that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That really is the battle. Is it Jesus or somebody else or something? It's all Jesus. The only begotten Son of God, full of grace, full of truth, given to us by faith in the Son of God. Let's stand together this morning.